uramaze umubyeyi akashishikara.
There we are. The perfect introduction to Sid Ryan, the music from Burundi. Are you there, Sid?
I am indeed, Phil.
Sid, thanks very much for joining us. You always seem to attract a lot of attention. You do things which are dramatic, and one of the dramatic things is you're making a decision about entering the NDP candidacy for Oshawa. Am I right?
That's correct. Yes, I received a lot of interest from a lot of folks asking me if I would consider running. I gave it a lot of thought over a month or two, and I've decided, yes, why not? I think I can have a shot at it. I came within 400 votes of defeating the sitting candidate who's there right now, a Conservative, Colin Kerry. And, there's a whole lot of issues have happened since then, such as the closure of the General Motors plant and thousands of workers in the area, not just GM workers, but also all the feeder plants and all the spin-off jobs in the community that have been lost, is astronomical. And this Conservative has been sitting there for the last 13, 14 years, claiming to be the chair of the Conservative Auto Caucus. And on his watch, we've lost every single auto job in the community.
Yes. Probably from Mr. Shear's point of view, that's why they have him there, I guess. This is Sid Ryan. By the way, he has written the best memoir of a labor leader I've read in living memory. It's a grander vision, My Life in the Labor Movement. And I think, by the way, your book sets the stage for this. This, and I should ask you, when is the what is the process? Is there a date at which, or a meeting at which, your nomination is settled?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So right now, I'm going through a process where the NDP are vetting the candidates in the Oshawa area. There'll be the six of us, I believe, vying for the position. So they have to go through a vetting process, go through all the social media, and no doubt they'll be reading my book, and then seeing if if we get through the vetting process. Then on the 6th of September is the nomination meeting, where the members come out and get to vote on who it is that they want to represent them in the election.
Yeah, the moment here today is certainly a good one to be for you to be talking about your vision for labor. Because Unifor, which is probably the best known union in Canada, or one of the most, and is having a convention in, I think, Quebec City, perhaps, at where the today's featured speaker is Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, the Liberal Prime Minister. He's going to be the next big one. Will be Chrystia Freeland. You must have some message for the people of Oshawa and the rest of Canada, certainly the labor movement. What do we make of this?
Well, this is what's keeping, and this is what's weakening the labor movement. The vote is splintered, and it's because of organizations like Unifor, to be frank about it, who are currying favor with the Liberals at every opportunity, and sending the signal somehow, not just only to the members who are sitting in that hall, but to the entire labor movement, that, hey, it's okay to go out and vote Liberals. You know, they've got your best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. When Trudeau didn't lift a finger to help the workers in Oshawa, not a finger. He did nothing to try and stop the closure of the plant at General Motors. He's doing nothing about repurposing the plant, like trying maybe nationalize it and bring it under public control, and perhaps put new products in there, such as, you know, developing wind turbines and maybe working with hydro out this way, because, you know, hydro have got the two nuclear power plants. They have a lot of experience with building turbines. And you could team up with the university out this way, with hydro, General Motors or whomever, and start to develop some new products for that plant. But anyways, the message that's been sent by having Trudeau speaking at that convention, and now Chrystia Freeland, with all of the horrible positions that she's taken internationally, whether it be with respect to the Ukraine, Venezuela, Palestine, it's awful politics. But, you know, that's what Jerry Dias is.
Are they hoping that she can convince their members that they got a good trade agreement, this thing that Trump rammed down everybody's throat?
Well, you know, let's just take a look at that. At the time, they were out there crowing about that this was a great deal for workers and it was going to save all these auto jobs. Well, 6 months later, the General Motors plant in Oshawa closes. How did that agreement save any jobs? It's beyond me. And, you know, so we what the labor movement did, both the CLC to some degree and certainly Jerry Dias with Unifor, they basically gave... gave us some credence to the movement, to the agreement, that somehow this was good for workers, when in fact it wasn't good for workers. There's no free trade agreement that's been negotiated in the last number of years that's good for workers. Mm-hmm. Clearly, we've hollowed out the manufacturing sector in this country as a result of bad free trade agreements, and I don't see this new free trade, NAFTA too. I don't see how that is going to stop the hollowing out of the manufacturing jobs.
Yeah. No, this is an amazing kind of moment for labor. Actually, this thing of embracing, Justin Trudeau putting him as keynote speaker at the Unifor convention, this is a long way from the old mealy-mouthed talk about strategic voting. This is an embrace.
Well, it's worse than that, that's right. And you think about it, we're only literally a matter of days away from the writ being dropped and the general election being held. And here we have the biggest private sector union in the country embracing the Liberals when they've done nothing for workers in this country. Mm-hmm. And they certainly did nothing for the workers in Oshawa. Mm-hmm. But yes, they're embracing. I mean, I just hope, I don't know what happened, I wasn't at the convention, but I certainly hope that some folks got up and objected and at least raised some tough questions for Trudeau to answer, if he was there to answer questions. I'm not so sure he was.
My guess is he was not. These things turn... By the way, that is one of your critiques of the way the labor movement has been going, isn't it? That it's an awful lot of it is simply optics and photos and grand moments and actually not a debate.
No, there's no debate. There's no debate. In fact, debate wouldn't be allowed on the floor. To see whether it was a good thing to have this guy here or not, or even have, you know, a bunch of leaders get up and ask him tough questions. That kind of stuff is kind of shut down, you know. But mm-hmm. but this is how it weakens the movement. You know, you've got this going on you know, in Quebec City. But then by the same token, you've got a whole bunch of other unions who are all sitting on the fence with their strategic voting. And, you know, so it'll damage, there's no question, this will damage the NDP in this next election.
By the way, it's so well discussed in your book, A Grander Vision, My Life in the Labor Movement. And again, it is Sid Ryan. And we so often people use the cliche, well, you know, we're at a crossroads, we're coming to a big moment. But I've never seen a moment quite like this. We're coming up, for example, Labor Day. Labor Day, all the unions show up at one spot and march together. But this year, like last, Unifor is not part of the movement anymore. And for a very good reason. They were rebuked for raiding members of other unions.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you know, just the very fact that they, you know, took their ball and left and took the money with it weakens the labor movement, because it's just now we're going into an election where you really do need some finances to be able to run a proper campaign to highlight, you know, the bad policies of the Liberals and the bad policies of the Tories. Mm-hmm. But you don't get that opportunity, because what happens is they pulled away, I don't know what it is, over $1 million a year have been taken out of the CLC's budget. There'll be several $100,000 taken out of the OFL's budget. And that just weakens the labor movement. It just makes it more difficult to go out to organize the unorganized. Mm-hmm. You're not hurting, you know, the CLC or hurting the OFL necessarily. It's the smaller unions that get hurt who depend upon those organizations, and it's the unorganized workers who desperately need a union to take them out of poverty. That's who you're hurting. And that's why I don't understand this politics of, you know, you feel aggrieved and the only solution you can come up with is to withdraw from the central bodies, labor bodies, and weaken the labor bodies because you're ticked off that you're not given permission to go out to raid other unions. It's
But the rating used to be absolutely verboten. It's like crossing a picket line.
But
we went through this routine of mealy mouthed, again to use the word, the excuses. But by the way, they were rejected. That strategy failed. They attempted to take transit workers.
It was a miserable failure. It cost the organization a fortune to go out there and hire a bunch of organizers to go out specifically to raid other unions, and didn't get any return. They brought in a lot of workers who were on staff, a lot of staff members from those unions that they tried to raid. They brought them into Unifor and put them on the payroll. And so now they didn't get the members to pay for those staff, and so now they're sitting there with surplus staff on their books.
Yeah.
But it's just the whole notion of raiding another union on the basis that somehow they're being misrepresented by their international unions is just hogwash.
Yeah.
Surely you can go out and organize workers who don't belong to a union and give them the benefit of having a union.
Yeah. By the way, do you have any idea what they're going to do with Labor Day this year? Because last year was a kind of a near embarrassment, right? Didn't Unifor sort of show up roughly in the same area but marched it to another place? Are we going to have that kind of situation?
I think they went to Nathan Phillips Square, and then I'm not certain if they went over to Centre Island for a party or something. I don't really know, to be honest, what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not certain, but I know it's awkward, you know, when the largest union in the country, can't even march with the rest of the unions in the movement. It's a bad day.
I guess a big question would be the desire. There should always be an active desire between unions to see if they can work out a common front so that all their members benefit instead of looking for reasons to have separation. I guess apropos of that, I have to ask you, you were succeeded by Mr. Buckley. He is a Unifor man. He's been wearing a teacher's hat, I think. But he's at the end of his term. And the OFL is going to be meeting this November.
Right.
What do you project about that?
Well, what happened to Chris Buckley was when his own union disaffiliated, they basically took from him 450 delegates that he would need on the convention floor to win re-election. And there's just too many unions have indicated to him that there's no way that they're going to be supporting him if he's not, you know, if his union does not belong to the OFL. They're not in good standing with the OFL. So really and truly, when Dias pulled his members out of the CLC and out of the OFL, he really went and he put the boots to Chris Buckley at the same time, which is quite astounding. So now there'll be an election. He's already announced that he won't be reoffering. But now they're beating the bushes now to see who else can they get. I'm sure there are some people out there thinking about running, so that'll be in November. So be interesting to see who puts the name forward.
I hate to use the expression, but we're in for quite a fall. We have the election in October, federal election. I hope you're the candidate, and also then we have the OFL, and there will be big indicators as the director, you know, what's going to happen to working people in Ontario.
It will be quite. Well, let's see what the fallout is from the election, the federal election.
Mm-hmm.
I have this bit of a sense that I think that Jagmeet Singh can actually catch on a little bit. I mean, I don't see, like, Trudeau has been damaged. I mean, there's no doubt about it. His brand has been hurt. And Scheer is kind of scary. People have feeling that there's too much of a cozy relationship between him and the guy here in Ontario, Doug Ford. So I don't know if those any one of those two parties are going to catch on the way Liberals did the last time around.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into the debates, I don't know. Jagmeet Singh is a fresh face and bringing some ideas, and he just might surprise a lot of people in those debates and maybe on how he campaigns. So I'm still wanting to give him the benefit of the doubt and say, hey, I think he could catch on. And now I'm not suggesting that we're going to form the government. I mean, God knows that would be super if it happens, but winning enough seats to hold the other two to a minority government would be a fantastic achievement if we could pull that off.
Indeed. Well, Sid Ryan, it's great talking to you. It is a wonderful book, A Grander Vision, My Life in the Labor Movement. And everybody's going to be watching. I've seen all kinds of comments. Everybody's very excited about the fact that you are putting your name in for the nomination of the NDP in Oshawa.
Well, let's hope it works out. So it's been a pleasure talking to you, Phil.
All right. We'll talk again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Sid Ryan, and former president of the Ontario Federation of Labor. He's going to be a candidate, and he's seeking the nomination, NDP. We have a little music. We take a break, and we come back, and we're going to speak to a good friend about Burundi.